Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
Hello and welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps show. I'm your host Larry Elise, and of course, Happy New Year. Welcome to first Cold Case Friday of 2025. This week, we're diving into the murder of Michelle Martinko. Before we do that, please consider subscribing to our channel by hitting the subscribe button down below, and of course, hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. With that, we dive into today's episode. Our case begins in December 1979, almost Christmas. Everyone who celebrates is getting ready while also anticipating the new year. It was the end of the 70s, a decade that had introduced America to the reality of serial killers, kidnappings, and crime like never before. This realization hit smaller cities especially hard. Many believed their towns were safe. And that could never happen here. As we've learned time and time again on this show, crime can happen to anyone, anywhere, even in the safest communities. One such small city experiencing this rude awakening in 1979 was Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Cedar Rapids is the second largest city in Iowa and is nicknamed the City of Five Seasons for its so-called fifth season, time to enjoy the other four. But back in 1979, it was a community where people casually left their front doors unlocked. However, petty crimes were starting to concern residents who believed their smaller city should be exempt from such things. That belief was shattered a week before Christmas in 1979, when high school student Michelle Martinko went out for a day of shopping and was brutally murdered. Her body was found inside her own car in the parking lot of a local mall. Michelle was born on October 6, 1961, in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. She grew up in a loving home with her parents, Albert and Janet, and an older sister, Michelle, was considered a miracle baby, as her parents had experienced multiple miscarriages before her. This significant age gap between her and her sister meant that Michelle was raised much like an only child. Known for her thick, natural blonde hair and radiant smile, Michelle stood out in every room she entered. She was a hard-working student, admired by teachers and peers alike. At Cedar Rapids Kennedy High School, she balanced her academics with a variety of extracurricular activities, including the twirling squad, choir, and theater. Her love for fashion and interior design became defining aspects of her personality, and she planned to pursue those interests by attending Iowa State University. While Michelle's life appeared perfect, she faced her share of challenges in high school. Her beauty and talent sometimes led to jealousy among her peers. She even lost friendships when she started dating a boy, as their relationship was seen as too perfect. Despite the occasional drama, Michelle remained focused on her girl goals and ambitions. On December 19, 1979, she attended a choir banquet at the Sheraton Inn in Cedar Rapids. She wore a stunning outfit, black jersey dress, a black scarf, black tights and heels, all topped with a white and brown rabbit fur jacket. She carried a brown leather purse containing $180, which she planned to use to purchase a winter coat. After the banquet, Michelle decided to visit the recently opened Westdale Mall. The mall had quickly become a local hotspot, featuring trendy stores like Gap and JCPenney's, and it was known for its modern, flashy design. Michelle asked a friend to join her, but when the friend declined, she chose to go alone. Somewhere between 8 and 9 p.m., Michelle was seen outside a jewelry store in the mall. Shortly after, she ran into a classmate, Kurt Thomas. They spoke briefly before she decided it was time to head home. Kurt walked her to the mall's exit, and Michelle gave him a final smile before walking to her car. Tragically, that was the last time she was seen alive. By 2 a.m., Michelle's parents, Albert and Janet, were overcome with worry. She hadn't come home, and they knew something was wrong. Her father reported her missing to the police, and together, they began searching for her. At 4 a.m., their fears were confirmed. Police found the Martinko family's van, family tan and green 1972 Buick, in the northeast corner of the Westdale Mall parking lot, near the JCPenney. As officers approached the car, their flashlights revealed a horrifying scene. Michelle's body was lying face down across the passenger seat. Blood was everywhere. When the police opened the car door, it became clear Michelle had been brutally attacked. After confirming her identity, the investigation began. The medical examiner determined that Michelle had been stabbed 29 times in her face, neck, and chest. There were defensive wounds on her hands, indicating that she had fought back with everything she had. Despite her efforts, the killer overpowered her. Investigators concluded that the attack had occurred inside her car, as the amount of blood left at the scene suggested she hadn't been moved. The time of death was estimated to between 8 and 10 p.m., meaning the attack happened shortly after she said goodbye to Kurt, headed to her car. The brutal nature of the crime left investigators shaken. To think that Michelle had waved goodbye, walked to her car, and was attacked and murdered within moments is chilling. The audacity of the crime, carried out in a mall parking lot, public space, was baffling. The murder weapon was believed to be a sharp, pointed object, but investigators couldn't confirm whether it was a knife or determine its exact size. They also found no fingerprints in the car, leading them to believe the killer had worn gloves, an unusual precaution for this time. Back then, criminals didn't realize how advanced forensic science would eventually become, making this level of foresight particularly unsettling.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Autopsy revealed that Michelle had not been sexually assaulted. She was found fully clothed, and her $180 was still in her purse. With no evidence of robbery or sexual assault, investigators struggled to determine a motive. This left them with two possibilities. Either the killer knew Michelle and the attack was personal, or the motive was purely murder. However, without any robbery or sexual gratification involved, purely murderous motives seemed rare and unusual. Police leaned toward the idea that the killer was a man. They couldn't rule out the possibility of a woman. Lack of eyewitnesses or surveillance footage in the parking lot further complicated the case. With so little to go on, investigators decided to dig into Michelle's life. They hoped to find answers to questions like, do you have enemies? Was there someone who might have had a personal vendetta against her? As they spoke to Michelle's family and friends, one name kept coming up, Andy, her ex-boyfriend. Andy struggled with their breakup, and Michelle's family believed he might have been angry enough to hurt her. To them, Andy seemed like the most logical suspect. Michelle's relationship with Andy had ended on a sour note. Her family described him as someone with a jealous ex-boyfriend mentality. They speculated that his attitude might have been, if I can't have her, no one can. At the same time, police were looking into Kurt Thomas, a classmate who had been the last person to see Michelle alive. Since he had walked her into the mall exit that night, it made sense for investigators to consider him a person of interest. The next morning, before Kurt even knew Michelle had been murdered, police brought him in for questioning. They didn't hold back and directly asked him, "Why did you kill Michelle?" Kurt was shocked. He had no idea Michelle had been killed and told investigators that he had simply walked her to the mall doors before she went to her car. Despite their suspicions, police had no evidence tying either Andy or Kurt to the murder. Without fingerprints, DNA, or eyewitnesses, there was no way to prove their involvement. Both men were released after questioning. With no solid leads, police turned to the public. Over 200 people came forward with tips, providing a wide range of information about what they saw or suspected. Police followed up each tip. None of them led to a breakthrough. As the time went on, rumors started swirling around town. These rumors made their way back to Michelle's grieving family, adding another layer of pain to an already unbearable situation. The gossip ranged from speculation about drug rings to absurd claims that Michelle was involved in sex work, none of which were true. To make matters worse, the family began receiving prank calls. Some were from people pretending to be Michelle's killer, while others were from cruel individuals pretending to be Michelle herself. Despite their best efforts, police were no closer to solving the case. Days turned into months, and months into years. By the time a decade had passed, Michelle's case had gone completely cold. As the years rolled by, advancements in forensic science gave hope to countless cases, but Michelle's remained unsolved. The public moved on, but Michelle's family continued to live with the pain of losing her and the frustration of not knowing who was responsible. Then, in 2006, the case took an unexpected turn. Investigators reviewing the evidence discovered something they had missed decades earlier: a small amount of blood that didn't belong to Michelle. The breakthrough was thanks to advancements in DNA technology. The blood found on Michelle's black dress and the gear shift of her car didn't match Michelle's DNA. Investigators concluded that the killer had likely cut themselves during the attack, leaving behind traces of their own blood. For the first time in decades, police had something solid: DNA profile of the killer. But there was still a problem. When they ran the DNA through CODIS, the national database, there were no matches. The killer wasn't in the system. Hoping to close the case once and for all, police collected DNA from the two original suspects, Andy and Kurt. Both men willingly provided samples and both were officially ruled out. While it was a relief to clear their names, it also meant the police were back at square one. They had the killer's DNA, but no idea who it belonged to. Hundreds of other suspects were tested over the years, but every single one was cleared. Despite having such a powerful piece of evidence, the case once again went cold. In 2015, Detective Matt Dillinger reopened Michelle's case. For Matt, this wasn't just another case, it was personal. His father had been one of the original detectives who worked on the investigation in 1979. Growing up, he remembered how the case had haunted his dad. Now, as a detective himself, Matt vowed to solve it. Matt had heard of a new and exciting tool in forensic investigations: DNA phenotyping. His wife suggested sending the killer's DNA to Parabon Nano Labs, a company that could analyze a DNA sample and create a detailed sketch of what that person might look like. Parabon used DNA to determine physical traits like skin tone, hair color, eye color, and even facial structure. It was revolutionary. Without any eyewitnesses, police could still create an image of their suspect. Using the killer's DNA from Michelle's case, Parabon created three composite sketches, showing what the killer might have looked like in his 20s, 40s, and 60s. The sketches were unveiled at a press conference, police asking the public if they recognized the person in the drawings. The response was overwhelming. More than 200 people called in with tips, each claiming the sketch resembled somebody they knew. But with so many differing opinions and no concrete leads, the case stalled once again. In 2018, the arrest of the Golden State Killer using familial DNA caused a seismic shift in cold case investigations. Detectives across the country realize this new method could be the key to solving cases once thought unsolvable. Familial DNA works by uploading a suspect's DNA to genealogy databases and finding relatives who have submitted their own DNA. From there, investigators build out a family tree and narrow down potential suspects. Inspired by this, Detective Dellinger decided to try familial DNA on Michelle's case. Police uploaded the killer's DNA to a public genealogy database and waited for a match. They didn't have to wait long. Partial match came back, a second cousin once removed, living in Washington State. The woman didn't know the killer personally, but her DNA gave police a place to start. By mapping out her family tree, investigators eventually narrowed their focus to a family with three brothers, Jerry, Kenneth, and Donald Burns. One of these men was almost certainly Michelle's killer. The Burns brothers lived in Iowa, about 45 minutes away from Cedar Rapids, where the murder had taken place. Police began quietly investigating them to see if one of them could be linked to Michelle's murder. None of the brothers had criminal records, which made narrowing it down more difficult. All three were successful small business owners and appeared to live normal, law-abiding lives. On the surface, they didn't fit the profile of someone who would commit such a brutal crime. To determine which brother was the killer, police decided to collect their DNA covertly. The first brother police targeted was Kenneth Burns. They followed him around for a day, waiting for an opportunity to collect something he had touched. Eventually, Kenneth stopped at a golf course clubhouse for lunch. After he finished eating and left, police retrieved the straw he had used to drink his beverage. DNA from the straw was compared to the DNA found in Michelle's car. It wasn't a match. Kenneth was cleared. Next, police moved on to Donald Burns. They waited outside his home until he brought his trash can to the curb. After he went back inside, investigators dug through the trash and found a toothbrush and a glass. Both items were tested. Once again, the DNA wasn't a match. Donald Burns was cleared. That left only one brother, Jerry Burns. Police followed Jerry to a Pizza Ranch buffet where he stopped for lunch. After Jerry left, police investigators collected the straw he had been using during his meal. The DNA was rushed to the lab. This time, it was a match. So police had the killer. So who was Jerry Burns? Jerry Lynn Burns was born on December 23, 1953. He was 25 years old at the time of Michelle's murder. In 2018, Jerry was in his mid-60s and living in Manchester, Iowa. He owned a powder coating business and was well known in his small community. Most people, he appeared to be a regular, hard-working man. But the DNA evidence told a very different story. Police learned that Jerry had no known connection to Michelle. He hadn't gone to her high school, didn't work at the Westdale Mall, and no personal reason to target her. This made the murder even more chilling. Michelle's killer had no apparent motive. And then, on December 19, 2018, the 39th anniversary of Michelle's murder, police walked into Jerry Burns' office and confronted him. During the interview, Jerry remained calm and quiet. He admitted that he had heard about Michelle's case, but denied ever meeting her or being at the Westdale Mall. While investigators told him they already had his DNA and knew it matched the evidence from the crime scene, Jerry insisted they must have made a mistake. He never once asked why police were accusing him, nor did he express shock or confusion about being linked to the murder. His calm demeanor unnerved investigators, but it also strengthened their belief that they had the right man. At the end of the interview, Jerry was arrested for the murder of Michelle Martinko. The news spread quickly, shocking both Cedar Rapids and Manchester. After nearly 40 years, the case that had haunted the community finally seemed close to being solved. Jerry Burns was taken to trial, where he was represented by one of Iowa's best defense attorneys. His legal team argued that the DNA evidence was unreliable and could have been transferred or contaminated. They claimed that Jerry had never been in Michelle's car and had no reason to harm her. The prosecution presented a powerful case, emphasizing the DNA match and lack of evidence to support the defense's transfer theory. They argued that the murder was premeditated, as Jerry had worn gloves to avoid leaving fingerprints. Former classmates of Michelle testified about how her murder had impacted their lives. Kurt Thomas spoke about the guilt he carried, wondering if things would have turned out differently if he had walked her to her car that night. Andy, Michelle's ex-boyfriend, also testified, sharing memories of Michelle and describing the pain of being unfairly suspected for so many years. Perhaps the most disturbing testimony came from Jerry's cellmate. He revealed that Jerry had said, "No matter what happens in the trial, I still win. I have 40 years of freedom." And then, after 3 hours of deliberation, the jury found Jerry Burns guilty of first-degree murder. He was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Jerry's conviction brought justice for Michelle, but it also left lingering questions. Jerry's wife had died by suicide in 2008, and his cousin mysteriously disappeared on December 19, 2013. While police don't believe Jerry was involved in either case, the coincidences are unsettling. Additionally, disturbing searches were found on Jerry's computer, including phrases like "sex with a dead girl" and "blonde girls." These searches suggested a dark, perverse motive and made people wonder if Michelle was his only victim. It's hard to believe that someone capable of such a violent, premeditated murder would never kill again. However, so far, no other crimes have been definitely linked to Jerry Burns. Michelle Martinko was a bright, beautiful young woman with her whole life ahead of her. Her life was cruelly taken, but thanks to advances in DNA technology, her killer was finally brought to justice. Michelle's parents didn't live to see the resolution of her case. Her mother passed away, still believing that Andy was responsible. The loss of Michelle devastated her family, and her sister has spoken about how it forever changed their lives. Michelle's story is a reminder that no matter how much time has passed, pursuit of justice is always worth it. Michelle's murder was a senseless and horrific act of violence that shattered a family, shocked a community, and haunted an entire generation. For nearly four decades, her case seemed destined to remain unsolved. A painful reminder of the fragility of justice, but with persistence, innovation, and a determined team of investigators, truth finally came to light. This case is a testament to how far forensic science has come. Advances in DNA technology and the groundbreaking use of familial DNA have opened the door to solving even the coldest cases. It's a reminder that time doesn't erase the need for answers or the demand for accountability. For Michelle's family, her story will always carry the weight of what was lost, the vibrant young woman whose life was stolen in an instant. Now, they also have closure. They know the truth, and the person responsible never hurt anyone else again. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of True Crime Never Sleeps show. We'll see you next week with another story that we love and hate. Till then, stay safe and remember to hold your loved ones close. Now, give us a thumbs up if you like the video, hit that subscribe button down below, and if you want to support the channel even more, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. As always, your support helps the channel grow, upgrade our equipment, bring a new host, be able to pay them, and hopefully one day take this show on the road. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.